The biggest news of the day, in my opinion at least, is the clear indications, the clear signals that are being given by Donald Trump that he is ready to just end this whole responding to coronavirus thing. And that's coming in multiple forms, but let's go to one of the most obvious. This tweet, it was, I think, late, 10 minutes to midnight. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we will make a decision as to which way we want to go, in all caps. So, Francesca, we're looking for reassurance and stability. I think an all caps tweet saying that in 15 days, he's basically like, let's just go back to work. That reassures me. Does it reassure you?
For sure. I mean, it doesn't feel like the end of days at all. It doesn't, because that almost feels like a threat. That's just a like, listen, after 15 days, we don't have it under control. It's on God. Like, that is not what I want to hear. Meanwhile, we all know that Pence, who was tasked with, you know, sorting this entire thing out, like ultimately is just saying to himself, this is all on God. I can't do anything about it. It's God's plan. And you're like, no, that's only for Drake, not for the vice president.
So I knew you'd somehow bring up Drake. So the cure is worse than the problem itself. So he's saying that, like, people staying home and not participating in the economy, or at least the part of the economy that he cares about, is worse than potentially tens or hundreds of thousands or millions of people dying. And look, if it was just one tweet, you know, I might not make a video about this, but Axios is saying that people close to the president are saying that he's already getting tired and impatient with the lockdown. And remember, there's huge parts of the country that aren't locked down yet. There's just a few states that have mostly locked down, not even the most extreme version that some other countries are doing. But the thing is, after he tweeted that, he went on a retweeting spree, retweeting things like this. From Renee Williams, 15 days, then we isolate the high-risk groups and the rest of us get back to work before it's all over for everyone. Hashtag landslide 2020. He retweeted that to give you an idea of where his mind is. Flatten the curve, not the economy. And 15 days, then we keep the high-risk groups protected as necessary and the rest of us go back to work. And so he's getting sick of it. He thinks that the economy is hurting, and either that or the fact that that might hurt his approval rating is apparently what's most important at this point.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that tweet, the initial tweet, makes no sense. When I initially read it, I was like, wait a minute, the cure? There's a cure, right? So he's even calling just a precaution, a response to COVID-19 a cure, which it really should not be conflated with the cure. So I was like, you know, I initially was confused. And then it's just showing that he cannot see, he's not even smart enough to see how he could go full authoritarian at this moment, which is good for America. It's good and bad for America, right? Going full authoritarian means like you could, you know, have troops rolling down streets and maybe sanitizing things, you know? And
we've seen those images in some other countries.
Absolutely we have. And I'm waiting to see them in this country. But I'm also like, it hasn't occurred to him yet to potentially use this to say, delay the election in November. And I know that's been on a lot of our minds. So I'm glad for that. But I'm also, he's proving obviously to everyone, and I hope to Republicans eventually, that he is completely unfit for this. And he can't see past his own ego or his own benefit.
Yeah, and like, look, we're going to be talking later on about people not respecting the quarantines and the lockdowns and all that. Like, you should be able to expect that our leaders would advise people to do that, would provide some incentives and all of that. The fact that he's just bored, like he wants to move on, or he sees his stocks like going down or something. Like, we're how many days into the lockdown are you? I'm like less than a week. 5 days, something like that. We think we're done. This virus could be rampaging across the world for a year and a half. And after less than a week, the people we've given the most power in our country are like, come on, seriously, we're gonna hold this. Like, what? Okay, yes, maybe 3 million Americans could die. Okay, but seriously, we got to get back to work. Dunkin' Donuts needs to be staffed now.
The thing I think Democrats need to not let Trump get away with, and journalists, but that actually this kind of lockdown, which hasn't been on a national level, and we can talk about that, and maybe that is a misstep, but that this could have all been avoided had the Trump administration taken this seriously from jump. And if we hadn't, and we don't keep calling it a Chinese foreign virus, because every time he calls it that, I'm like, I cannot hear anything else you're saying, because, you know, I don't hear like anything that follows racist tones. Mm-hmm. But I think that we wouldn't have to have quarantined if there was a coordinated government response. We wouldn't have to have quarantined if we had accepted the testing kits from the World Health Organization. I mean, if we hadn't disbanded the National Security Administration's pandemic response team, right? Like, so I think we can't miss this moment to throw it back on this administration without getting into, like, you know, sort of a blame game. But he single-handedly has made this 50% worse. I'm absolutely sure of that.
It would be one thing if it was just Trump signaling that they're ready to just tell people to get back to, you know, the way things used to be, but it's not. It's also Fox News. I'm going to show you this. I was going to play some of the video, but he just rambles on and on. But let's see. So Steve Hilton says this total economic shutdown will kill people. They're just whipping up fear. So they spent weeks and weeks on Fox News saying that concerned about the virus at all was just fear-mongering. It was just designed to hurt Donald Trump. Then they had like a second where they were like, oh my God, people are starting to die. And we've been telling them that this isn't a serious thing. We need to protect ourselves. Sean Hannity even like reached out to Cuomo and was like, you know, like, I want to help spread your message for you. And now they've transitioned right back into, it's a hoax. Okay, it's a waste of time, but it's the thing that we're doing to stop people from dying. And it's just designed to hurt the economy again. It's just designed to hurt Donald Trump. Do you really want to like sit there at home watching Netflix as the economy gets destroyed just to save your life? And today it's Steve Hilton maybe, but yes, will it be Sean Hannity?
Netflix save my life. Let's put this into perspective of all the things that we could be required to do. Sitting our butts in our couches and just watching endless streaming services. Like, there are worse things that we could do to try and save humanity.
I agree. This is all I've ever wanted, aside from the pandemic.
You've been
dead. Yeah. So, look, I'm going to be watching Fox News. Well, not literally, but I'm going to be tracking Fox News to see if they continue this. I worry that they're going to be putting even more pressure. And if they do, like Trump, like, he already is leaning that direction. He could 100% say, no, we're stopping it. Maybe the states could still have leeway to do it themselves, but who knows? If he feels like that's hurting the economy, maybe he'll try to put some pressure on them.
I mean, I think that, I guess, so there are trackers of how many people have been infected and how many people have died. And obviously the numbers are not accurate because we don't have testing. And so there are a lot of people staying at home right now, self-quarantining, who might have it, but they don't know because, you know, the hospital said there's only 4 test kits left and they don't get one because they're not in an at-risk group, supposedly, although that's changing. Every time some commentator or Trump himself says that the economy is hurting, they're basically saying that we don't care about these deaths. We don't care about your mother, your father, your cousin, your brother. We don't care. And listen, last night between like 9 and midnight at Pacific time, there were like 38 people who died in this country from COVID-19. This is serious stuff. It's increasing every single day. And without causing panic, it's like, have some respect.
Yeah.
Right? The minimum you could do is have respect. The maximum is to actually take action and have a coordinated plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I check this coronavirus tracker every day for world and individual country and individual state numbers, and we're at 41,000 cases in the U.S. right now, almost 500 deaths. And everybody says, you know, like our curve and Italy's curve, and every couple days I check in, and we are indeed still, we're actually, I would say now, we're outpacing Italy in terms of infections, not in terms of deaths, but in terms of overall infections.
Right.
And so my prediction is it is going to become within a week a unified message from the right that, look, America's tough. It's willing to accept some deaths if that's what it takes to get the economy going. For the last few days, everyone has been wondering, where in the world is Joe Biden? The guy that supposedly is presumptive nominee for the Democrats was gone unable to be seen, no public statements. All of this was going on. There's this vacuum of leadership, and he was not stepping into it. Now, as of today, he has resumed making videos, and so we're going to have a bit of those. So they come in two forms. He does have a live stream, which we'll get to, but here is a bit of a video that they posted to Twitter on his account.
President Trump and Mitch McConnell are trying to put a corporate bailout ahead of millions of families. You know, it's families. It's simply wrong. We should be focusing on families. The White House and the United States Senate Republicans have proposed a $500 billion slush fund for corporations with almost no conditions. And you don't have to tell Americans where it's going to go for months. You don't have to explain what you did with it. The Trump administration could allow money to, for stock buybacks, for executive pay. Republicans refuse to increase Social Security at the same time, to forgive student loans, to take the necessary steps to stop evictions, ensure food and nutrition for vulnerable families. Senator McConnell should immediately allow a bipartisan vote on aggressive measures to help small businesses, workers, communities, so they reflect what they need and they can get moving so we can help them now. This is a time to help families, communities, and small businesses. People trying to pay their mortgages or their rent, student loans, urgent bills. They need help. They shouldn't have to pay for a corporate handout before they get the help they need. They need the help now.
So mostly there you have him talking about one of the components of the Senate bill that's being considered, this $500 billion just fund that the Treasury Department is going to give to companies that they like, presumably. And it doesn't appear that there's going to be much limitation on what they do with that money, which means we know what they're going to do with that money. So Joe Biden has reappeared. He seemed to me to be fairly like low energy. He didn't seem, I know some people are saying they think he has a coronavirus. He doesn't look particularly sick there in comparison to how he's looked recently. But what do you think about him popping his head back up?
I mean, I think it is way too little and way too late. And to be totally honest with you, I do hope, like, I think we need all the leadership that we can get in this time. So I do hope that he comes back regularly and sounds a lot stronger and more resolved than that. Because, and then I don't want to, you know, play into the like, oh, he's got early onset dementia, but like, that if that is after like a week of not hearing from him and he is slurring his words and he does seem tired, he just seems, Joe Biden, his campaign is a little bit like, you know, the dad that comes in to like sort everything out because he's like, kids, you know what I mean? Like that sort of, he kind of has this like, oh, you guys, how you handle this, you know, all right. And so everything he does is with that sort of air of like, do I have to solve this? I'm too tired to solve this.
Yeah.
And that doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me. And, you know, I know the campaign was giving a lot of excuses. They were trying to set up an HD camera in his home. And I don't think any of us bought that.
You know what's HD? Your iPhone is HD. Exactly. And it's probably connected to the internet.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
It's 4K, actually.
Yeah. I mean, back to this sort of like, why do you want to be president moment that I think every candidate, I think anyone who's running should ask themselves that. Biden does not have a clear why I'm running sense to him. He does not connote that he actually wants to be running for president, that he knows what he's doing, that he feels confident in what he's doing, that he is prepared for the immense challenges. I mean, God, in November, if we have a continued economic recession or, God forbid, depression, like we are going to need some real leadership.
Yeah.
But he's got so much of the structural Democratic Party propping him up that I'm like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had days and days where he couldn't record a video on his phone and have them upload it to Twitter. Like the thing we just sent, that wasn't even like a live address. Like they uploaded that and it looked heavily edited. It was off a teleprompter.
Right.
Like, honestly, we want you to be a leader, not to read a script that like you might not have been that involved in and that was really weak anyway. Like, honestly, Bernie Sanders has been doing like every couple of days, he does a big live digital address. He brings in experts. They had, you know, like Rashida Tlaib was on. I think that was literally last night.
Yeah, it was very good. It really was nice. Mm. there was a lot of like, I mean, it was off the cuff and it was just an interview. I mean, Biden could easily do that. I just want to see him a little bit off the cuff, not scripted. Like, yeah. Where's his heart at? Where is his head at? And I think Bernie is really demonstrating that he knows and can kind of just, you know, feel things and think things, you know, on the fly, and that like any good politician or leader.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, it's one thing for Joe to come out and to sort of to bring up some, I think, fairly obvious criticisms of the Senate bill. That's right. Fine. And he endorsed something that Elizabeth Warren is pushing. But like Bernie, like a week and a half ago, he had his like three principles that should drive the response to coronavirus. Like, what is Joe thinking of? What is Joe adding himself? Or even right. just his team, if it's not him. Because I understand that we're supposed to, like, he was talking recently about, he apparently had a conversation with Barack Obama about who his VP is going to be, and they have to be ready to step into the job immediately. Like, but that might not even wait for, you know, if he were to, you know, unfortunately, you know, pass on while president. Like, I don't know how much he's actually driving inside of his own campaign right now. If I were the candidate and I was told by my team, oh no, we need like 3 or 4 days to set up a studio, I'd be like, no, I want to win. Give me a camera, give me a phone, give me whatever. We're surrounded by technology. I want to do this right now. But just like in the debates, how he's the only person that when they say your time is up, he's like, oh, okay, I'm good. Now, he doesn't seem to want to talk either. If you don't want to talk, then you do not want to lead. And I don't want you to. I don't trust you to.
Yeah. I mean, and it says a lot. I mean, I think even for you, John, even for like TYT, you're like, listen, people rely on your voice. They rely on your analysis. And even if you're feeling crappy and you're feeling dejected, you kind of just like pull it together. Let's talk to people. Let's create community. This is the time to do that. This is the time to create community. And you're absolutely right. Just 1 minute of watching Trump's any kind of press conference, any of these days, as the presumptive nominee, wouldn't you just be like, oh, put me live, baby. Like, let's talk about this. You
know? I want to follow that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And by the way, I also wanted to mention that the primary, at least in some forms, is still going on. So you might have seen the news that Bernie Sanders has won the Democrats Abroad primary. Now, it is not a ton of delegates. I think he's going to end up getting about 9. Joe Biden's going to get about 4. So it's not fundamentally going to change the math very much. But another primary has concluded, and this one went to Bernie Sanders. So that is good news.
Listen, I was an expat for many years, and so I know what it is to look. You don't get a better perspective on the United States than looking at it from another country, especially another country that actually has universal health care. I just saw there's a France for Bernie Twitter account, and I'm like, of course, you know, these are all Americans who've like left this country because there is no social safety net.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, we need to change it so I can come back.
And France has been hit hard, too. So they certainly are dealing with this as well. So let's play one other video. Now that we've gotten past the substance of Joe Biden's disappearance and the continuing concerns from his reappearance, they did do that live address this morning. I saw 6,000 people were tuning in, and they have already had some issues. So we have a video I want to play of that. Here he is with apparently having some issues with his teleprompter, which they were 100% using.
Beef up the number of responders dealing with these crush of cases. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough on that. The president must use the Defense Production Act.
So there he's like, move. No, and then he tries to remember what that section was going to be on. Then he said, you know what? I've talked enough about that. But no, you didn't, because you didn't actually say it, because you're skipping it because the teleprompter wasn't ready. I can't use a teleprompter very well, but do you need to be on a teleprompter? You've been in isolation for multiple days. You should have been thinking about this. You should have thought of some stuff to say.
I mean, I think there's a big debate around the teleprompter generally, and I'm someone who does like pre-recorded videos, like well-produced, they're produced, right? So I have a script, and like, I definitely need a teleprompter because it will look stupid if I look down at like a joke that I've planned and I've written out. But if you are a leader, once again, and if you, or you're just used to, you're a politician, you're used to talking about this, give yourself 3 bullet points. And I think, you know, Bernie Sanders was taking heat for looking down at his notes early on. I don't care. It's fine. Write down. Everyone needs some notes. But then you should just be able to remember like where you're going, beginning, middle, end, baby. Like tell a story, tell, yeah. you know, like just go. And the fact that he is unable to do that without a teleprompter, or that his staff is afraid that he will go off topic, mm-hmm. is so concerning.
Yeah, and let me be clear, I don't have a problem with a teleprompter either. Some of my favorite like political comedy shows use teleprompters. It does drastically increase your quality. I wish that I could have that. But you have to be ready. You have to have the knowledge and be ready to go if it goes down, especially if you're, you know, elected politician. This isn't like, you know, Stephen Colbert having an issue. Like, you right. should be an expert on this if you're Joe Biden at this point.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
No, nothing. And then I guess I just think that, like, look, this is a time when people don't care where you are. I mean, look, like, we're just in our homes. We're talking to people. We're connecting to them live. Him rolling in a lectern that says Biden with the number to text, it just rings really hollow. Like, it seems even more fake. And I guess impersonal, if I can even say that, in this time.
Yeah, it's a little bit formal. Like, it's in yeah. your rec room. Like, imagine if I had these board games behind me and I'm sitting at a podium. I don't know. Like, exactly. I know you want to appear professional. I get yeah. that. I guess we're all working through it. I personally don't think you should have the podium in your house. That seems a little bit
weird. No, we know who you are.
Donald Trump does not have a formal doctorate, but he is in a position where he's giving people, regular people, you and I, but also doctors and authorities, medical advice. And lately, his big thing has been chloroquine. He's a big fan of it. He wants it rolled out as soon as possible, and he's not listening to these doctors that are trying to pump the brakes a little bit. So here's a little bit of him talking about why he thinks we should be using it immediately and not waiting for tests on people with coronavirus to find out if it actually helps.
Good morning. We sent a lot of the medicine. We don't have to go into it again, but we sent a lot of the medicine to Governor Cuomo. I believe they already have it. And they have some very capable people. We spoke to Dr. Zucker, who is his primary representative on this. And we spoke to the governor himself. And I think he's excited about it like I'm excited about it. Now, will it work? I think it has a really good chance. I think it's worthwhile. Why should we be testing it in a test tube for a year and a half when we have thousands of people that are very sick? They're very, very sick. And we can use it on those people and maybe make them better. And in some cases, maybe save their lives. So Governor Cuomo told me they'll be using their supplies.
Okay, so there he says, I think it has a very good chance of working out, which I'm sure is based on his reading all of the journal articles about it and all of that, and not just he thinks it's a Hail Mary that either could work or could make you feel a little bit better for a few weeks. I'm not saying the medicine, I'm saying the news that something might be out there. You know, he loves branding, he loves rolling out new products. Yes. And so he's saying, don't test it for 18 months in a test tube, which is not what anyone is proposing. They're saying, let's do tests on people and observe the results before rolling it out. When you have, Trump didn't know what it was a week ago. And maybe right. it'll help. Maybe. But not necessarily. Anyway. So I want to give.
Sorry.
No. What are your thoughts?
No, I just think that, like, once again, unfit. Like, this is a nightmare in which, you know, the nightmares where, like, you're driving in a car but you're in the back seat and you can't reach the wheel. It's exactly like that, except Donald Trump is also there.
Yeah.
It's bad. And like this entire thing is just, he is a commentator on our politics, on our political life. He's a commentator. He is not a leader whatsoever. He doesn't even understand that he's actually a leader. And yeah. I don't know whether, like, his supporters even watch these press conferences. Like, I don't imagine they do. I think his supporters really? Are just, I think they yeah. are signed up for his ideology of xenophobia and strongman BS. And I don't see how you could watch that and be like, oh yeah, I've total confidence. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Love it. Who like knows? I love just that sort of open-ended direction when it comes to pandemics. Just like, give me options.
And also, he doesn't appear to understand that, like, medicine isn't just it cures you or nothing happens. Medicine has side effects. Medicine can make you sick. Medicine can kill you. He doesn't seem to understand that. There are doctors in the room who do. So, and they're trying to urge a little bit of caution. So Dr. Fauci, apparently the most important doctor in the country right now, Fauci was asked about the drug because the president had called it a potential game changer back on Thursday and claimed incorrectly that the FDA had already approved its use and the government would make that drug available almost immediately, which is 100% not true. Moments after the doctor had made it clear that there were anecdotal reports, but no clinical evidence that chloroquine might be effective or safe for patients with COVID-19 or could be used as a prophylaxis, as Trump had suggested, the president said, quote, I think without seeing too much, I'm probably more of a fan of that more than anybody. When Peter Alexander of NBC News then noted that Fauci had made it clear that there's no magic drug for coronavirus, Trump said, I disagree. Maybe and maybe not. I will say that I am a man that comes from a very positive school when it comes to, in particular, one of these drugs, and we'll see how it works out. I'm not saying it will, but I think people may be surprised. By the way, that would be a game changer. Hashtag, we're doomed.
Hashtag, positive school. Positive school called COVID-19.
I can make it medicine.
Oh, this is... It's just like, it's like a little kid like trying to do science.
Yeah.
And just like rattling off, you know, I think it could, it's going to cure the world. And you're just like, uh-huh, yeah.
You maybe. Need to put leaves on it. Put leaves on the wound.
Yeah, more dirt. We need more dirt.
Yeah. And by the way, here's, I guess, the dark consequence of him talking it up the past few days, potentially. CNN reported Monday that, quote, three people were hospitalized in Lagos, Nigeria, after taking the drug, believing that it was a cure for coronavirus, which, as far as we know right now, it is not. And look, I know that some people will be saying, well, shouldn't we be trying everything? And I 100% agree. I am sure that doctors and researchers all around the world are trying as many medications as they can in a serious fashion, gauging risks against benefits, observing the result on people. But Trump just going up there and saying, this is, it's, first of all, it's ready to go, which it isn't. It's a cure, which it isn't. That is providing false hope, and not to cure people, but to protect his own approval rating.
Which is ridiculous because he's setting himself up for failure. I mean, Dr. Fauci, the very first press conference that he ever did, he was like, listen, this is how vaccines work, right? He wasn't talking about a cure then, but he was talking about a vaccine, which is what they're hoping to do, is that we have to roll it out slowly, test it for 3 months, and basically it won't be ready for public use, broad public use, for a year. Mm-hmm. And that was about a month ago. And so I remember hearing that and just like keeping it in my mind that like, okay, the science doesn't have this, and it really is on all of us and on, you know, measures that other government organizations can take, whether it's sanitation, whether it's testing, whatever it is, whether it's having enough surgical masks to protect ourselves. But Trump is basically setting himself up for failure if this medicine doesn't actually work. Like, not only that, obviously you just pointed out setting people up for potential death, but it's like, why not set the bar low so you look good if that's all you're concerned about?
Yeah, and stop lying. I mean, he said like a month ago, like, we got the vaccine's about to come. Like, just the constant, like, we ordered these masks, so they're good. Nope, the order's going to take up to 18 months to be fulfilled. It's just the constant lying, and then the refusal of anyone who's been formally on his side to apparently accept that he has been lying for literally months about every aspect of this. One of the most important pieces of personal protective equipment that frontline healthcare workers need access to as they are dealing with this new glut of coronavirus cases are masks, particularly N95 protective masks. Trump understands that we are currently lacking the number that we need. He is not willing, as of right now, to force companies to produce more or to purchase them in bulk and send them out in the short term. But he does have advice for nurses who are worried about the lack of masks.
They're throwing away the mask right away. They're throwing away. And when you hear 55 million masks were ordered, I'm saying 55 million. How could it possibly be such a number? And I said, why aren't we sanitizing masks? You know, you look at the masks. I've looked at all the different masks. Some don't lend themselves to doing that, I think, but many do. And I said, why aren't we have very good liquids for doing this, sanitizing the masks. And that's something they're starting to do more and more.
Is that something they're starting to do more and more? And is that good advice from the president?
So I would love to invite President Trump to come tour my hospital with me and see what my coworkers are doing at the recommendation of the CDC. We are reusing procedural masks, N95s, and face shields for as long as we possibly can in order to preserve them. We are wiping down the face shields with bleach wipes, but it's really impossible to sterilize the N95s or the procedural masks at this point. There's no liquids that could do that without destroying the fabric and their protective ability.
So he says we should be sanitizing the masks and reusing them. We have very good liquids for doing that. And he says more and more people are doing that. This is another one of those things where he wants the thing to be true. So he just states that it's true. But the doctor says, no, we can't do that. Not if we want the masks to actually be worth a damn, to actually protect us.
Right. No, I mean, and sadly, you know, nurses and doctors know they're already doing that. They have to reuse their masks because there aren't enough. A lot of hospital supplies, I've been hearing from nurses friends of mine that like they are under lock and like they're under security. Like there are security guards guarding the masks because people are stealing them. And it's like, I don't really blame anyone in that situation. Obviously, like it is really scary. Everyone wants a mask, but like obviously we nurses and doctors and medical professionals need them first. But it's absolutely preposterous. Like there's another story I remember reading recently that I forgot whether it was a nurse or doctor, was attending a patient with COVID and she didn't have a mask. And so she attended to them with a curtain, thinking that like a curtain would stop the virus.
Yeah.
And she came down with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is incredibly contagious. Incredibly contagious. Even the process of sterilizing that mask, I think, could get you sick.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's been told it. Like before he said that, before he went up and talked about the very good liquids, he knows that we can't do that. It's just, he's a snake oil salesman. That's all it is. And honestly, I understand that nothing can be done, but him having these press conferences is hurting the response.
It's hurting. I just feel like, where's Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Like, I would rather her like horribly judgy little eyebrow, like just stare down at me and be like, don't know, don't have it, working on it, than hear him just sort of bumble. I mean, speaking of someone you kind of want to be on teleprompter all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, thank you to all of the companies that are transitioning their manufacturing over to making the masks. I've seen a number of different companies that have been doing that. It's still going to be a logistical nightmare to get it to all of the hospitals that need it. Like, you can pump out, you know, a million masks, and then what do you do with them? How do you get them to everyone? But we need that. And like, I saw that like Tito's Vodka is transitioning their manufacturing to making hand sanitizer, which is great because, as many of you I'm sure have noticed, you still can't get it online. So,
I have a bunch of aloe, mm-hmm. and I was like, wait, but I don't have any more alcohol, but I have alcohol. So I'm like, does tequila sterilize?
No. So. Just quick tip, based on my research, you can make your own. Well, the simple recipe is aloe and vodka and liquor, like you're saying, but it has to be a high enough alcohol percentage, and most liquors are far too low.
But Zoe vodka would work.
No, I don't think so. No, they can do there. They can manufacture the alcohol with a high enough content to make hand sanitizer. But if you just use regular vodka, I don't believe that would be
Obviously don't want to spread disinformation, but I'm also not the president, so like...
That's true. it's better than nothing. So it has happened. A number of government officials have now either contracted coronavirus or are in isolation over it. News broke this morning that Amy Klobuchar's husband has tested positive for coronavirus, but a number of senators as well are now self-quarantining. Mike Lee and Mitt Romney are self-quarantining after close interactions with Rand Paul, who apparently tested positive for it. Cory Gardner and Rick Scott are also self-quarantining after a potential exposure. And so on Rand Paul, by the way, he was criticized because while waiting for his results, he apparently went to the gym, the Senate gym, and went swimming, and then only afterward found out, oh, he tested positive for it. And I saw that Kyrsten Sinema like attacked him on Twitter, saying how recklessly, callously indifferent to other people, your other coworkers, could you be to do that? And so potentially he might have left germs on that workout equipment, and theoretically might have spread it to other senators.
Because this is like the senator's like workout. First of all, I really
it's like
want to
the
see the
personal gym. Yeah,
I want to see the congressional gym. I do want to see what it looks like.
You could probably find some photos on Paul Ryan's Instagram back in the day.
Oh right. Yeah, it's all there's like a little photo booth corner in the gym, just in case anyone wants to look like a tool. But that is so that's so awful. I mean, listen, I don't. There's a limited number of things we can say about Rand Paul contracting COVID, but I will just say that, like, after all of his BS grandstanding around all the amendments that he wanted to pass, before there was any relief that people should have to submit their social security card, so essentially, right, like calling out the 11 million undocumented people in this country who many of them probably have the virus. And yes, the virus is not as racist as Republicans are and will infect everybody. and so I just, it's like, it's just desserts. It's karma. It's whatever you want to call it. The guy needs to be in quarantine. He needed to be in quarantine a long time ago.
He did. Look, he needs to be responsible. Everybody does. You know, I don't wish it on anyone, at least not publicly. But no, we have to take this seriously. And for some people, the only way they will is for either themselves or someone they know to finally get it. For a lot of people, it's still too distant. It's, oh, some people have it, but liberal media and the CNN's hyping it up. But if your aunt gets it, if your cousin gets it, if your coworker gets it, then it's a little bit harder to deny that this is something serious.
Yeah, I think Anna was saying that it felt like sort of how Republicans treat LGBTQ issues, like, you know, it's a sin until like their daughter is gay. And then they're like, well, you know, I've evolved on the issue. And it's like, yeah, but I feel like it's hitting way too close to the White House for them to be taking it as non-seriously as they are.
Yeah,
I think it was, wasn't it Mike Pence's like staffer has it?
I hadn't heard that one, but that is possible. And he's like the point man on this. But by the way, one way that it's that it might be hitting them is in reaction to this breaking news. So why don't we go to that for just 1 second? Donald Trump found out, he wants you to believe, live during a press conference about the senators who were self-quarantining. And here is his reaction to the news that Mitt Romney was one of those names.
Romney, Senator Lee,
Senator
Rick Scott. Also, two of them were in contact
with. Yes, Rick is coming out.
With the critical stimulus package vote expected.
Romney's in isolation?
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Detect sarcasm there?
No.
Sir?
No. None whatsoever.
Do you think that.
So, Romney's in isolation? Gee, that's too bad. Not sarcasm. And the reporter asks, was that sarcasm? And that's the sort of moment I understand nothing matters, nothing has any effect. They should have all just walked out of the room. That the president, live during a pandemic response press conference, sort of jokingly implies that he's happy that another senator has coronavirus.
Yeah, we're kind of at that point in time where showing up to these press conferences is absolutely enabling some of this. And it's just this was just yesterday. Like, every single day, it's been something else. Every single day, it's been denying that calling it a Chinese virus is racist, or, you know, calling, oh, he's doing the naughty thing. Oh, what a naughty question. You're a naughty reporter. Like, it's getting a little weird.
Yeah, we're definitely there. Yeah. By the way, I know that we're not focusing too much, because I've done so many videos on the whole China virus, the Chinese virus. I mean, you probably saw, they had a shot of his notes. He had crossed out coronavirus with a Sharpie and wrote in China virus.
Right.
The Federalist, which has an article which is basically calling for if millions of people need to die for the economy to go well today, you should read that, or you shouldn't. They have a tag for all this news. It's Wuhan coronavirus. It's like the fact that they all decided after weeks of not calling this thing, you know what our big stand is going to be, that we're going to be referring to it as a Chinese virus. And if some people have to get harassed, and New York Times has a great story on that today, people being harassed and attacked, Chinese Americans or people that people believe are Chinese Americans being attacked. And that's happening.
No, and just back to what, I mean, that is a whole other story. And I look forward to talking more about that. I know you have. But in terms of Trump, like, when he found out about Rand Paul, he immediately made it about himself. He said, we like Rand Paul. Rand Paul's been good to us, because he always talks about himself as if he's like, you know, I don't know, like from the UK. Like, you know, give us a kiss. Like, I don't know why he talks like that, but it's always us, right? It's always like Team Trump has been treated very well by Rand Paul. We've relied on a lot of his votes on crucial, you know, like policies and this and that. And just like, it's so clear that he will have sympathy for you if you've done specifically good things to him. And that's why I like, I don't know, like, is it going to take, you know, a sort of MAGA loving, whatever, like someone from like Florida, wherever it is, just someone like draped in a MAGA flag to be like coughing their brains out and just saying like, listen, President Trump, I voted for you. Please take this seriously. I feel like that's what it's going to take, because he doesn't care if you are a Democrat. He doesn't care if you're a Republican who doesn't vote with him, or, you know, who heaven forbid found him guilty of the crimes that he absolutely committed.
Yeah, and part of it is he and a lot of the other people that are in charge of this, they know that if they even suspect for a second that they have coronavirus, they're going to get tested. They don't need to have symptoms or whatever these things that regular people have to wait on. No, they're just going to get it. There's always going to be a ventilator for them. There's always going to be around-the-clock treatment. They don't have to worry about those things. The rest of us, best case scenario, if we might have gotten it, maybe we get tested, maybe. But they're going to be just fine. Right now, as we're recording this, the Senate is debating one of these big relief bills. And one of the components that's caused the most problems over the past few days is this $500 billion slush fund that would allow the Treasury Department to effectively dole out money to companies that they think need it. And the standards so far for that seem incredibly vague, incredibly loose. It's up to them, effectively, which means, in effect, that it's up to Donald Trump. Now, he was asked recently, could he personally benefit from this slush fund? Would he pledge to not take money from it? And here is his quasi-answer.
The bill that is being contemplated by the Senate right now has a fund that has hundreds of billions of dollars for the Treasury Department to use to bail out states and localities, as well as specific industries such as cruises and hotels. Will you commit publicly that none of that taxpayer money will go towards your own personal
property? Well, every time I do it, like, for instance, I committed publicly that I wouldn't take the $450,000 salary. It's a lot of money, whether you're rich or not. It's a lot of money. And I did it. Nobody cared. Nobody said thank you. Nobody said thank you very much. Now, I didn't commit legally. I just said, I don't want it. I don't want my salary. I work for zero. I don't want my salary. Nobody said, oh, thank you very much. But I guarantee you, if I ever took it, you would go out after me. You in particular would go out after me. Like crazy. So I have no idea what they're talking about with regard to the one element. Everything's changing, just so you understand. It's all changing. But I have no idea. Instead of being thanked for, again, not agreeing to do it, but just for not doing it, I get excoriated all the time. So I've learned, let's just see what happens, because we have to save some of these great companies. They can be great companies literally in a matter of weeks. We have to save them. Yeah, please.
Okay, so he was asked something very simple. Are you going to take bailout funds? Millions, potentially more than millions of dollars. And he attacked the reporter, pointing in that weird way that I don't understand how anyone thinks that he's an alpha male when he does those little points. I don't get it. But I don't take the brain fuel pills. Maybe you need that. And saying when I gave up my salary, nobody says thank you. Nobody says thank you very much, because it's not a gesture that you're doing. Okay. We don't want you to corruptly take millions or billions of dollars. We don't need to thank you for not breaking the law. Or in this case, it might be a court of the law, but he's not supposed to be doing any of that as president.
No, man, we all know you're violating the Emoluments Clause, everything. We know you and your family have been getting rich on your presidency this entire time, and we just don't have the ability to stop you. Like, that's been clear. So, like, save us, please. I mean, this whole, I have no doubt. I mean, we know Jared Kushner was part of the response team, and I have no doubt that so much of what he's done is thinking not only how to save face in terms of looking at this only as a PR issue, but also how to make money. And if we think for a second that the Trump administration and private healthcare insurance companies, or, you know, airlines or other, or any Wall Street, you know, trading companies, banks, if they're not looking at how to make themselves rich off COVID-19, we're being very naive. Yeah. They're absolutely doing that behind the scenes. And we have to make sure that they don't. I mean, this is this is the whole thing. Like, how do you think bailouts work? Who do you think is hurting the most? Yeah. Do you think that McDonald's is actually hurting? Do you think Boeing is actually hurting? Right? I mean, if they lose whatever, like if they lose 3 weeks of pay, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. If a worker, McDonald's worker, loses 3 weeks of pay, that's whether they're homeless or not.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah. Yeah. And Boeing wants you to believe that they're one Bezos fortune in need of bailout, basically, which seems absolutely absurd.
Speaking of Bezos, Bezos is looking into buying supermarkets in New York City, looking into buying Fairway supermarkets. If you're in New York, you know what that is. And this is the same guy who is refusing to give paid sick leave to all employees, only people who have gotten COVID. He says that, okay, Amazon workers can take 2 weeks paid off. Mm-hmm. This is proving, I think, what, you know, a presidential candidate that we will not see covered in the mainstream news has always been saying is that, you know, and it's, you know, in a certain degree, you're like, listen, billionaires aren't that bad. No, they are. They are looking at this moment and they're licking their chops and looking at how they can make even more money.
Yeah.
Within reason, right? Legally, they're like, oh, price gouging, but they're absolutely going to try and make money off of this.
Yeah. Companies are going to, Wall Street is going to find a way to make untold money. And by the way, you know, one thing that's scary in terms of like my faith that we're going to keep a check on corruption in this time. The whole story about Loeffler and Burr and the others.
Yes.
I don't see that like front page news that multiple senators might have made a killing, so to speak, in the run up to our response to coronavirus. That seems like Loeffler's just tweeting about other stuff. She's moved on to regular business. She seems like she's going to be just fine.
And that's sort of how that's why we all need to really like step back and like, just separate the economy with a capital E that involves stocks and Wall Street and all that and people, right? And yes, there are retirement funds invested in the stock market. I understand that. But it is a racket. It is a game played by a very small percentage of Americans, but that has impacts for all Americans. Well, maybe that is not the way we should be structuring our economy. Maybe it is actually time to transition away from giving Wall Street that much power, because they shouldn't have that much power, right? And when it comes to everyone else, like, you got stock? I don't got stock. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. How many bartenders do you know have, like, tons of Google stock, right? Yeah. Like, you know, it's not common. So, like, how many teachers do you know are really heavily invested in whatever, Amazon? Like, yeah. No, you help people out from the ground up, and that's how you make communities and people safer.
Donald Trump is trying to make you think that he is taking this more seriously over the past week or so, but that doesn't mean it's really holding his interest. Take a look at this video where he appears to be falling asleep during a coronavirus briefing.
So this frees up more of our capacity across the board. I know it's not lost on any of the governors here, Mr. President, by standing up FEMA, you now have essentially created a structure that every governor is very familiar with in dealing with disasters and
Okay, so I get that Mike Pence is not necessarily the most exciting speaker in the world, but he definitely looked like he was having a bit of the midday post Filet-O-Fish nappiness.
Oh, yeah. Just when the Filet-O-Fish takes all your nutrients from the rest of your body, because that's how it works. It is actually
really?
A sponge. It is a sponge.
It's diabolical.
Yeah. And then, it's like, it feels... This is so awful, because it was like my feeling around Bush. Like when Bush was president, you're like, listen, I get it. You are a insatiable idiot, right? And so from a like, I want to hang out with you level, I understand, but you're the president of this country. And so from a human level, I'm like, man, I've been in classes and just been like, it's too warm in this room. Just hearkening back to college days. Some of you are in it or not in it. But listen, this is a guy who needs to hear his name said every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if I were Mike Pence, I'd be like, California is reporting that Donald Trump is, you know, got COVID-19. Oh, hello, sir. You know, like you're still with us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He, look, I've been there too. I've been in classrooms where it's a little bit hot and you start to feel a little bit Woozy. I remember one classroom. I was in this, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a classroom in undergrad, and it was one of those halls that could hold like 400 people or something like that. There were like 20 people in the class. I sat in the front row, the middle of the front row, alone, to maximize the chance that I would not fall asleep. The professor's 5 feet in front of me, and I fell asleep on some of those hot days. So I get that. But this is a pandemic, and you're the president, and you're not, you know, sort of like a jackass college student like I was. So maybe take it seriously. Pop another couple of those pills that you're rumored to be taking all the time.
Honestly, snort that Adderall.
That's what I hear. I'm not saying anything. But anyway, wake up. If you're enjoying the show, please hit the like button. That way more people find out about it. And if you haven't already subscribed, do that. That's the first layer of, hey, Google, I want to know when they go live. But that isn't good enough anymore. Now you have to hit the bell as well if you want to definitely know when we go live. They don't always send the notifications if you're just a subscriber, so bear that in mind. Multiple states, increasing numbers of states, are on lockdown of one level or another. I believe Maryland just today is going into that sort of lockdown. And here in California, we've been on it. Florida is starting to have a little bit higher standards for what you can go out and do. But we know that for some of them, it might be a little bit too late because you probably saw the footage that we played on the show last week of spring breakers just having parties, having fun. They're on the beach. And unfortunately, what was predicted to happen did actually end up happening. And now Florida University, the University of Tampa, says students tested positive for coronavirus after their spring break trip. Specifically, in this case, 5 students at the University of Tampa apparently got it while they were on spring break, which is that was the worst case scenario. And it appears to have happened. And those are the 5 that have been identified.
Yeah, that and every other STI, as you do on spring break. this probably one's gonna too. Be this is gonna burn a little bit worse than everything else. I mean, that's I've seen a lot of reports. I mean, they're all anecdotal, but like a lot of what we have to go on is anecdotal. There are people, especially Republicans, and even like further to the right. So like I've heard of like little Confederate parties and people with flags out and a lot of MAGA hats and who are just kind of like taking this as a joyride. Yeah, there's nobody around. So we're going to, honestly, I wish COVID on the people with Confederate flags. I'm sorry. I'm going to just say that right now. That's it. You white supremacists, get COVID. That's it. We're done with you. If COVID will wipe out the white supremacists, I'm fine with that.
Well, I mean, Fox and Trump have sort of set up that situation. I mean, I've been wondering, someday they're going to do an analysis where they're going to break down as many cases as possible. And it's going to be difficult to know, but to the extent that we will be able to find out, I think the data will show that this is going to hit Republicans harder because their governors aren't going to take it as seriously. They individually are not going to, you know, moderate their behavior in the way that's necessary. And so they probably will suffer more infections and more deaths as a result of this. But it's not just spring breakers, and it's not just in Florida. We here in California apparently haven't been taking this seriously enough either. So we turn now to an update from Mayor Eric Garcetti, who says, this weekend we saw too many people packing beaches, trails, and parks, so we are closing sports and recreation at LA City parks and closing parkings at city beaches. That doesn't mean gather elsewhere. This is serious. Stay home and save lives. So that's right here in LA. People are not taking it quite seriously enough just yet. And this is, again, we're a couple of days into this, like 15 days to flatten the curve thing. And already people are like, well, like, what about beach volleyball? What about that? And what do we think about beach volleyball?
Yeah. I mean, if I sterilize the ball between spikes, then.
What if I put the Purell on my forearm so that when I bump it, it gets cleaner?
And we'll just have gloves. Listen, it's sad. It's sort of that moment where it's like, which is good. You know, I mean, initially I think we were like, well, great. It's time to get outside and you can, you know, go do things outdoors and take walks. And first of all, I think there are some people who live in like nicer neighborhoods. And so it's like a nicer walk. Like my neighborhood, the walk, it's okay. But it's like, it's kind of, there's less traffic, which is great, but I'm, you know, it's not like not a view. I don't live in the hills. But like I did go to Griffith Park, which is a park here in LA, and it was not super crowded. I didn't go this weekend, but like I know that Runyon Canyon, another park, was trending on Saturday because there were too many people there. And then there's all those like just all those people who got something to prove, you know, the dudes with like 12 packs and then they're just huffing as they like run by you and they're just breathing really heavily. Oh. And you're like, we get it. Oh, muscle milk, you know? And like, so it's just sad though, because you're like, okay, at least I can get outside. And now we're being told you can't get outside. You shouldn't go outside. Yeah. And I demand a Nintendo Wii. That's just what I want.
Let's get you a Switch. We can play some multiplayer games together. They have some fitness games on that too.
Only works out your hands, right?
No, they have this like ring thing that you do workouts with. I don't know. I've never done.
No, I want some like some upper whatever this muscle is.
A tricep.
I want some tricep.
We're gonna work on those triceps. Ring. Don't worry. We're gonna send you a Nintendo Wii. Yeah. Look, over the weekend, my wife and I we took a couple of bike rides to not lose our minds, and we made sure that we were not close to people. We didn't breathe all over people. There were cars everywhere. There was a lot of people and people walking in little packs and everything. Doesn't look like people are taking it quite seriously enough, but perhaps that will change. But just in case it doesn't, just in case, you know, these five students getting it isn't enough to change your behavior, just in case Mayor Garcetti isn't enough to change your behavior, we have one secret weapon, someone who will implore you to do the right thing, and it's Danny DeVito.
Hi, everybody. It's Danny DeVito. And I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, all over the state of New York, stay home. I mean, everybody. I mean, we got this virus, this pandemic, and, you know, young people can get it, and they can transmit it to old people. The next thing you know, I'm out of there. So Governor Cuomo asked me to ask you, please, do us a favor, all of us, and stay home, not spread this virus around. Thank you. Watch a little TV, why don't you?
Oh my
Can he
God.
Be president? You know, I trust his stable leadership in this in these trying times.
so lovable. Like, there's nothing better than threatening to that. Like, Danny DeVito will no longer be around than for me to be like, okay, no, I got it. I'll stay home.
Yeah. The people are killing Betty White and Danny DeVito. Is that what you want?
I mean, that's it obviously is so stupid and sad that like celebrities have to get the virus. Number one, we know they had better access to the testing kit, but Tom Hanks has to get it for us to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, listen, I think that's someone in a time without leaders that we can get around. All right. We all like Tom Hanks. We all like Danny DeVito. Let's save them.
Yeah. Idris Elba's really cool.
Madonna needs to stop. Whatever it is she's doing, a lot of bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is happening.
I don't
get
it either. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Danny DeVito, for your service. But everybody, just stay home for a while. Read a book. Okay. Play a game. Watch a show. It's great shows. Watch The Outsider. Okay. It's awesome. My wife and I, we're doing a rewatch of House. Just do something like that. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.